Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday. Brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries and available now at a store near you. It is lottery night in the NBA. A big night for your Portland Trailblazers. And the only man we could think to bring on to talk about this and break it all down is our good friend, our pal, Gundy, calm down over there. Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter, the Blazer Banter Substack. Go give him a follow. Gundy, good morning to you. Let's start with a vibe check at 7:36 on this Monday lottery day. What are the vibes like over at the Blazer Banter Studios?
Hey, you know what? We're positive. We're feeling like, you know, even though it's raining right now, we're feeling like after Peyton Pritchard's amazing Game 3 performance at the Garden, the basketball gods are shining on Oregon. And who did Cooper Flagg grow up rooting for? The Boston Celtics. I mean, guys, I'm telling you, it's all happening. It's gonna happen.
That was the weirdest tie-in to Portland getting success that I've ever heard in my life.
I feel like I just asked a good buddy who is clearly in a bad relationship how their relationship's going, and they're like, no, it's great. Things are great.
She doesn't have sex with him. She just kisses him once in a while.
Dude,
they're friends.
She's wonderful. She doesn't yell at me at all.
Dude, it's interesting because Dirt largely and loudly as this show's, you know, representative, there's a narrative on the show because Dirt is like, I don't get what they're doing. Why did we do this last year and the year before, but we didn't do it this year? Don't get it. If they win, it's going to be loud, like, haha, ethical tanking. The history of the draft says ethical tanking doesn't work. So, like,
hey,
I'm very curious why this is a narrative.
Hey, calm down over there.
And also, just, like, if those people are going to be loud if they do win the lottery, what are they going to say if they fall to the 11th or 12th spot?
Then I guess it's pitchforks out and everything was a waste of time. And that's the other side of it is, like, and I think, look, like, I'm of two minds about it. Like, yeah, it would have been nice to have the best odds. But then you also look at, you know, you look at a team like Indiana that doesn't ever tank. And yes, they got lucky with the trade to, you know, Halliburton is this guy. But, like, they've made a ton of moves. I mean, they play, like, 11 guys. And it's like, and they never tank. And they eventually, like, had to, like, go from being restarting to being good again. And it's like, you don't just get there overnight, even if, like, you know, let's say Portland hadn't made the obvious trade and they didn't like have any of the success and they fired Chauncey and they're in this situation with a brand new coach and all of a sudden Cooper Flagg falls in their lap. That's going to be great, but they're still probably going to be a 30-win team in year one. And so I do think that there is something to be said for like building a little bit of an identity and a foundation. And I know that a lot of people will like, oh yeah, well they, you know, did a lot of that at home and they beat a lot of bad teams, and that's true, but they also weren't beating those bad teams last year. So I do think it is a bit of progress, even if you, you know, want to get mad about the fact that they, you know, were playing guys late down the stretch, especially that last road trip, which was just like, what are we doing? You know, playing guys 38, 40 minutes on the road in Atlanta when Atlanta needs to win that game. Like, it was just like there, a lot of stuff that, like, down the stretch that I was really pissed about, but I mean, Yeah, this is I'm trying to be positive about it, but
no, I'd rather be realistic than positive. Like, positive is obviously we all want Cooper Flagg here. Whether you root for the Blazers or you cover the Blazers,
the Great White Hope would be incredible.
It would make the storyline a lot more interesting, a lot of fun. But also, like, we don't need to, like, lie about it. I think you're getting at kind of the point that we've been making all year of what's going on here?
My favorite tank at the end of the season was when they tried to win a game for four quarters and then decided to tank in overtime.
Utah.
What's it Utah went game. To overtime? Yeah. They're like, let's lose the game.
let's pull Shaden out that he played like 40 minutes. And it's like, at least they learned their lesson from last year where they played Shaden like 43 minutes a game and then he got hurt and then he was out of the season. And so, like, I guess you can call that some growth.
Can I ask you, if they get the 10th or 11th pick, would you trade it?
I'd see what I could get from it. I mean, I am of the opinion, though, that, like, unless you're getting an upgrade for that, like a real upgrade with, like, packaging with someone else, I wouldn't necessarily love doing that, because let's say they actually do make good on their goal next year of making the playoffs or making the play-in and being in that mix. This is probably going to be their last chance to get a top 10 pick. So like, getting a guy, and it's like, this is also why you draft Schmitz. I know that, or why you hired Schmitz. It's like, you hired him, yes, because he knows the best stuff, but I think one of his biggest assets lately, or as a tenure with the Blazers, is finding guys that the rest of the league doesn't value as much as he does. And like Tumani being a great example. I know Phoenix drafted him, but making sure that they got him, I think that it would kind of be a waste to give up that top 10 pick unless you're actually getting someone who's like a starter caliber type player out of it. A little bit like what happened with Denny last year. You know, that to me is the only reasonable way that I could see them trading the pick, but I would not do it to salary dump Jeremy Grant. I don't think I would do it to, you know, make a minor upgrade for like a specialist. Like, I would want to do that for a more of a complete player if you're going to give up the 10th pick.
Interesting.
Especially in a draft that's deep.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're talking with Eric Gunnarsson, our good buddy Blazer Banter on Twitter. You go give him a follow, Blazer Banter Substack. Covering the Blazers, got great stuff up there. I wanted to ask you about this too, Gundy, because, you know, it's interesting. There is a trust level, I think, with this organization with drafting. And I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts. Now, you know, it's a bit of an end of the season, end of the offseason kind of question, but they've had three consecutive top seven picks now in the draft. They might end up, we'll find out tonight, where they fall in the lottery.
It's usually judgment time at that point, right?
Right, like, three, I mean, sevens, you know, yeah. One guy, Klingon, I get it if we want to be vague on him. It's 1 year. Scoot's now 2 years in as a number 3 overall pick, and Shaden Sharpe's now 3 years into his career as a number 7 overall pick. I'm just curious to ask you from a bigger picture standpoint, what do you think Portland has in those three players?
I mean, I think with Klingon, they've definitely got like a dude who's going to be a problem and a guy that you need in a West that will soon be dominated by Victor Wembanyama. Like, you absolutely need a dude who's a 7'3 behemoth, one of the best block rates in the league already. He's second to Wemby in block rate or per 36 minutes. And so, like, you need a guy like that. I'm much higher on him and his potential as like a than I think Scoot. I think the thing with Scoot is he's shown the growth. He works hard, and he just does not have the runway to be his best self right now. Like, he should be the starting point guard. He played better when he started. The team generally played better when he started. And Shaden showed a lot of flashes, but I think it's going to be really interesting what happens with his extension this summer because, yeah. You know, he was a top pick, but I don't want to be in the business of paying him what Franz Wagner makes or someone like that, where you're paying him off of potential. Like, I think his extension is going to be really interesting. I would be hesitant to like give too much money to him right now. And then also he's got the shoulder thing, which, you know, you can play through that for a few years, but eventually you're going to have to get surgery. And that's 9 months,
yeah,
for shoulder surgery. That takes you out. And so I'm very positive on Scoot and Klingon. I think there's a lot there, and Shaden has the talent to be amazing and has shown it. But I am a little, you know, I'm definitely a little hesitant about like what an extension would look like for him.
I hate to put you on the spot, but you just got my gears turning a little bit here. If they don't move up into the top four, so they don't hear that 10th pick, or they hear 10th pick is the Trailblazers, because if they don't, they're in the top four. If they're stuck at 10 and you say you don't want to just trade it for some stuff, is there a player caliber that you could give us that you'd say like, yeah, because I agree, it is a deep draft. And maybe Schmitz has identified, you know, one of these European players that played in college and says he's going to fall to us and he's going to be perfect for us. Maybe that's the case. Rookie scale contract's a term you hear a lot with this front office. But also, that's the 10th pick. Traditionally speaking, that's not a player that makes an all-star team. So is there a caliber player in your mind that comes to your mind when you think about trading that kind of pick?
Man, you know, that's a great question, Sprague. I mean, one guy that, and it's going to be tricky because I think he has a player option. Like, one guy that I thought of is Naz Reid. But I don't think you could do an opt-in if he opts in and then you extend him after the fact. And he's extremely good. He's another big. He's a big that can shoot, so you can play him with Klingon. You know, that is a guy that comes to mind to me. And then, you know, then you're also getting into the conversations that a lot of people have had about, like, Zion Williamson. Like, is that a guy that you're willing to say, like, hey, you know, he's got some health issues. He's got the questions, but also his contract's kind of a football contract. You can pretty much get out of it any summer in the next, like, two summers if you want to. And I think that could be a guy to look at who, you know, people are speculating is not going to be long for New Orleans. Although, you know, Joe Dumars came out and was like, oh, you know, we're actually, you know, that's not true. Like, to, you know, make sure that the offers are better. But I think a guy like, you know, that is a kind of caliber player. Now, obviously you'd have to throw in a little bit like another guy just to make the money work. But I mean, Zion, Naz Reid, those are guys that I'm thinking of right now as good enough or really good. That would be like best case scenarios to get someone like that with the 10th pick and a player. But, you know, cause Denny didn't come cheap. Denny cost 2 first round picks last year. So yeah. Maybe, you know, it could be more expensive than that, but maybe someone like Simons, maybe you throw 10 with Simons and you get, I don't know, you get Anthony Black, maybe you get a couple of first round picks and, you can make it work that way. I'm kind of spinning right now because that Sprague, you caught me off guard.
I should have texted you that. I'm sorry. And I know Naz Reid. Okay. I think Naz Reid to listeners is like, Naz Reid, really? And I'm
Naz
like,
Naz Reid's a good player.
Do you know if we're going to get a player as good as Naz Reid at the 10th pick? Because
no,
I
guarantee.
Don't. That's like the. I think that's your high end.
I'm with you on Zion.
You've
too.
Hit well.
Zion would love our strip clubs too. On top of it, last one for you, Gundy. Put you on the
Casa Diablo.
Give me a proclamation here. What pick, according to Blazer Banter, the Blazers end up with tonight?
They're gonna get 4.
Oh,
there you go.
And you want them to take who?
There you go.
Come on, give me a name.
I'm kind of becoming a con head. I want them to draft con.
Oh my
no, God. All right, get out of here. All right, there you go. Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter, at Blazer Banter on Twitter.
Flush the toilet.
Oh,
thank you.
Give me a break, guys. Right. He can shoot.
There's one Dookie that's good in this draft. We don't want the other one. At Blazer Banter on Twitter.
Blazer
it's not Banter. The white guy I wanted.
All right, we got to go. We're against it. Enjoy the night tonight. We love you, Gundy.
We love you.
And finish your dump, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good morning.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.